I'm CBS 19 Chief Meteorologist Travis Koshko for Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Thank you, TK. Joe Thomas in the morning, 434-964-1075 is the call-in number. Automated Office Systems inbox is joe@wchv.com. Get to some of your emails. Delegate Nick Freitas coming up a little bit later on this morning. The 12th of August, as we gathered in the park around Robert E. Lee's statue that fateful Saturday in August, for what quite honestly was a puzzling street theater that almost looked like a modern retelling of West Side Story, it seemed, with, you know, villains and heroes and heroish villains and villainous heroes and all of that. I knew almost immediately there were going to be pencils and pads around and all wannabe, you know, authors out there ready to scribble their tomes. The same way I know that there were at least four different books in the works about Hannah Graham. Thank God they haven't come out yet. I know some of the authors, and I redouble my statement. Thank God they haven't come out yet. But there is a book available that goes into Marx Brothers Weekend, and I call it that not because it was comedic, because I always get somebody that hears that and thinks I'm talking about Groucho and Harpo and Chico. No, I'm talking about Karl, as we had Marxists to the left of us and Marxists to the right. One of the great chroniclers of Charlottesville history, and I can't oversell this more, is Blair Hawkins. Super-Blair.blogspot.com is where you can read a lot of his stuff, especially as it comes down to the poor communities and how they've been treated by the elites in Charlottesville and the gentrification and land use and so much of that. Vinegar Hill, certainly the center square. And if you want to talk historical context in Charlottesville, none better. So when I saw that Blair had written a book about Marx Brothers Weekend, I said, well, I don't even have to go through the book to know that it's of quality. And he's on with us now. I hope you're not blushing, Blair, but all of that is absolutely true. And it is exactly what went through my mind when I saw that you had written a book about the August 11th and 12th weekend. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Well, I'm doing good, and I'll take you right through the timeline if you want. And if you go to BlairHawkins.net and click on the Robert E. Lee statue, it'll take you over to Amazon Kindle, and you can read a lengthy excerpt of the book.
And it's downloadable to your e-reader.
It's only $2, yep.
It's great price. So first, I want to get your mindset. And certainly lots of us felt like, gosh, somebody has to make sense of this all. When did you decide that you had to put this in book form for everyone? Was it just too hard to have individual conversations about this, that there was more than just a couple of paragraphs on a website to deal with this appropriately?
Oh, yeah, I think so. A book is much more difficult to write than a long blog post, as I've done a lot of those. And you can still just go to my website, BlairHawkins.net, and see a lot of other stuff. And anyone could have researched this. I'm thinking, am I the only one trying to capitalize on what happened? And just a couple months ago, I thought, well, I've said it since August 12th that somebody needs to write a book. And so I wrote this book. It's sort of like it's not all about the August 12th. It's 12 chapters, though. The first chapter is my citizen's report to President Trump, because right after the riot, he says he wanted to study Charlottesville. Well, I feel like I'm the only one who has the true balanced history, and it's right in the book. The book summarizes all of Charlottesville, but it focuses at the beginning on August 12th.
Well, and not just August 12th, but the title of the book is Hiding in Plain Sight. And yes. I think that title is just, it's magic to me, Blair, because what you've chronicled is this attitude of the elite and a mostly white, you know, ruling class in Charlottesville, and how they've treated the poor white and black communities in this area over a century of abuses and misuses and ignorance to their needs and treating them as if they're just sort of in the way. Is that part of what you mean when you say hiding in plain sight, that what flashpointed on August 12th was boiling for decades before?
Absolutely. And you see that in the Blue Ribbon Commission report. It's has nostalgia for 100 years ago, back before this at-large city council system was put in place, back when blacks were on city council. And basically, there's a nostalgia to go back to that golden age of Charlottesville when the economy was booming back after the Civil War, before the progressives took over around World War One, and but the progressives want to go back to 1865. Back, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But most people just want to go back, you know, before the progressives during the golden age when John West developed Vinegar Hill and a lot of these things that we talk about came into existence. The Daughters of Zion Cemetery mm-hmm. is one of the biggest relics that we have from that golden age. You know, that cemetery is for affluent blacks. You know, we had a public cemetery for blacks and whites, and we had a cemetery, public cemetery in Maplewood for whites. So we also had a cemetery, a private cemetery owned by blacks for blacks. And that's because Charlottesville was wealthy 100 years ago, and everybody benefited, blacks and whites. But since the Lee statue was put up about the same time as at large, we've been going downhill and increasing socialism ever since.
Well, is it important, and you brought up at-large city council a couple of times, and I've wondered wistfully about elected mayors and at-large city councilors, given the fact that, and I don't know if it was under Eric Holder or, now I'm spacing out the other woman who took over the Department of Justice after that, but during the Obama administration, the Department of Justice ruled that strong city manager governments with at-large city councilors are violations of the Voting Rights Act, and I certainly could never see anyone in Charlottesville being in favor of that. Not David Toscano, who yells poll tax every time election season rolls around. We really do need to get back to a place where individual communities get to send their representatives to city council, don't you think, Blair?
I think so. In a lot of communities, they have city councilors and they have at-large city councilors. But we only have at-large city councilors. We only have one district in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. Everybody's elected from that one giant citywide district. We have 9 precincts, but they exist to keep everyone from overcrowding a single polling station. No one's elected from a precinct. So the at-large city councilors are sort of like a mayor. They're elected at-large across the city, but we don't have regional representation within the city, like a precinct. You know, we've got 9 precincts. If we had 9 city councilors from each different precinct, they would be standing up, or some of them, to the at-large mob.
Oh, yeah.
Majority.
It wouldn't be, you know,
we don't have that.
Unanimous votes for the, you know, this tax increase and that land grab. Hey, Blair, can I hang on to you a moment? It's BlairHawkins.net, and I'm sorry for giving the wrong web address earlier. I've always known Blair.
I still have that site, too.
All right, BlairHawkins.net. Get the book. It's called Hiding in Plain Sight. I want to circle back to what the book chronicles, because as you can see by listening to Blair, this is why if you read one book about Marx Brothers Weekend, it is this one. We'll come right back to him in a moment. 434-964-1075, WCHV times 645.
Whatever happens next happens here.
Unbelievable!
Seville 1075 FM, AM 1260, WCHV.
WCHV times 652, visiting with Blair Hawkins, who is a chronicler, a historian of Charlottesville's life. And Blair, we were talking about his new book. It is called Hiding in Plain Sight. And yes, it is about that weekend, August 11th and 12th, but it's really all about how we got there. So take us in, because I remember flashpoints like after the shooting in South Carolina, Kristen Sacco said, we need to get rid of all Confederate references, because that was somehow why that Dylann Roof kid went nuts in South Carolina. And then they picked up on it and turned it into a racial story. And really, you know, the sad thing is, if you talk to the black community in Charlottesville, most of them would be, you know, happier if you fixed the elevator at Crescent Hall or the air conditioning there than if you moved a statue.
Oh, no, where's that money going to? There's so much money coming to fix Crescent Halls, but it's just not getting to the people mm-hmm. who need it. It is incredible. I started my countdown in January 2016. That's when the Charlottesville Five took over, and they instituted new speech rules, and it was protested. There was a petition against that. And then in May 2016 was the Blue Ribbon Commission, And that's, you know, the whole story in itself. Mm-hmm. In December, it gave its report, and I wrote two reports on the commission. And then in January 2017, the city council reviewed that, and then the capital of resistance was January 31st. And then the vote to move the Lee and Jackson statues, even though the commission said don't move them,
yep,
was February 6th. And then February 21st, you might remember that, Corey Stewart was in town.
Yeah, I was there.
A little gathering down the free speech wall. Then it moved up to Lee Park, and then the Antifa was there, and the chants and the tussling. That's when we really learned that Antifa was in town.
Well, and I remember that. That's a famous picture on my Facebook page of Joe Starja yelling at me, having a learned debate through his megaphone with me at the foot of Robert E. Lee's statue. And it really was puzzling because we were a group that included a decent percentage of us were African-American, and yet we were the white supremacists. And that really puzzled me that they could come up with that and they could convince themselves that that was the truth of what was going on. You mentioned the Blue Ribbon Commission, and I think one of the saddest moments in this whole buildup, and including the weekend of August 11th and 12th, is Don Gathers turning. You know, he turns in the Blue Ribbon Commission report in which they talk about contextualization. When the city ignores that, I don't know if it's to gain political position within the party or what. He recants that position and decides, well, we didn't really want to do that. I was pressured to say that, but we really didn't want to contextualize all along, even though that's what his report says.
Well, I think there was a lot of pressure and fear after that, after Antifa comes to town and, you know, they're going to threaten your violence and, you know, if they're looking out for you down on the mall and then they'll post a picture of you, and then minutes later, Antifa swarm you. I mean, I can understand why people might be a little afraid to, you know, tell the truth about, you know, what's going on with the commission. The Blue Ribbon Report, you know, everything in that report is true, but it left out a lot of things, you know, that would give a greater context.
So people can pick up the book at Amazon.com, download it to their Kindle. Are there any things that people would say, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize that, or, you know, connections that you make that the rest of us haven't really done a good job of making for the population of Charlottesville, outside of the fact that, as I point out, these weren't necessarily people from Charlottesville here causing this ruckus on either side of the Marx parade?
Well, I think they just need to go back to good policing. On July 8th, when the KKK came from North Carolina here to Justice Park, they were well-behaved, and the Antifa was acting out.
Right, and the police behaved in that in according fashion.
Right, the police behaved well, but on August 12th, the police acted a lot differently, and we see what happens when, you know, the police are standing. Maybe there was no stand-down order, but there was a lot of standing around. I wasn't actually at the park. That's why the book is a history leading up to it. But I watched the whole thing on the internet from 11:30 to like 4 o'clock that day. So,
well, I was there.
You know, I know.
I still have pants that smell like pepper spray.
Blair, I saw you on there.
Well, I needed to be there to get the feel for it. And you know, at the end, when two state troopers and an activist, even though she's a left wing, it breaks my heart because nobody needed to. And quite honestly, before all that happened, the event had sort of fizzled out. And then these flashpoints started happening later in the day. Blair, I appreciate you writing this. Thank you for doing something that I couldn't have done. And we appreciate it from a Charlottesville standpoint. You are the voice of Charlottesville history, especially. Again, it's BlairHawkins.net. Go download the book. It's a couple of bucks. It's worth it. It's worth probably 10 times that.
85 images, Joe. 85 pictures. So it's not just a dry historical read.
Well, I appreciate that as well, Blair. You have a great morning, sir, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.